Yeah,
Going to Finland.
I'm leaving tomorrow and coming back Sunday, so for a show. So that's the end and end for me.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's better to be working, you know, and then you did go to CES.
I
So, I
did go
mean,
to
hey, you know,
CES.
my heart's not bleeding for you completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, a little technical difficulties on everybody's side. Please do not speak to the sound engineer. What's going on with that, man?
Well, that's my I could sign that off. I'm not, it's not working at all. That's me. That's my
Well, there you
computer.
go. Now, you know, I changed all the settings. I changed all of the settings in this meeting for you, David, so that you would have no problem whatsoever logging in and getting into this
And
meeting.
we did it. You
And yet
got me
you're
to
still having problems.
log in perfectly, and now it won't. So I don't know what you undid, but you did
Ah.
something right.
Well, we changed the settings around. But anyway, hey, before we go any further, let's introduce ourselves. Hey, well, we're meeting with friends, thinking out loud. And this is 192nd meeting consecutive. So it's better than that Stephen Wright situation where he walked into a store that said open 24/7. And when he went to the guy, he was watching him lock the door. And he says, "Hey, your sign says you're open 24/7." And the guy says, "Yeah, but not in a row." Stephen Wright, one of my favorite jokes by him. And hey, but we're but this has been pretty cool. We have been going 192 times, and which is amazing to me is that people are starting to really like this, or at least we're getting impressions. Would anybody know what it means when you get an impression on LinkedIn? Nobody. Well, good. Well, basically, from my understanding, we've got like what I can't my notes are not opening now either, which is crazy. So I'm gonna have to wing this. So but I believe Tina, you got the notes. How many impressions did we get on LinkedIn? Am I here alone?
No, scrolling through looking for it.
It's right on the top. All
Oh,
right, I'm able to open my
388
notes here.
impressions on LinkedIn. Those are the numbers of times your post, video, or update or article appears on someone's LinkedIn feed.
So
Oh, nice.
we're getting some traction here, and Facebook and all that other and YouTube. You know, so people are watching what we're saying. So you know, just remember everything you hear today is an opinion. Do your own research. And welcome everybody. So who wants to say something before we get into some of the subjects that I thought that I would bring up today? Well, I was wondering where David is going for the next few days. What are you up to, David?
I've got Hotel California shows, one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and one in St. Charles, Mississippi. Two casinos, the Hollywood Casino and L'Auberge. So normally that'd be great, except I'm watching people on crawling on their hands and knees because of the ice
Oh,
down
what
there.
were the casinos?
One's called the Hollywood Casino. That's in St. Charles, Mississippi, and the other one's called L'Auberge. L apostrophe AUBERGE, which is in Baton Rouge.
Oh, I
Little
would like
bear.
that
Check
casino. I like that casino.
the weather, David.
You Well, it's
might
good to
check the
be
weather,
working.
David. What's that? You might check the weather.
Oh, I'm about to do that. That's definitely part of what I do before I leave. I've just been busy.
So then I guess the gig is still going well, David. They still love
Well,
you and everything.
it starts up again. We hadn't worked since the end of November, or the beginning of December. This
Oh, how
is
about
their.
that? So this is after the holiday break, basically, your
Yeah,
first gig back, huh?
so we're just starting, and they've got just an amazing schedule. It's just solid work all summer long into the fall.
This is a beautiful story, you know, because if I remember correctly, they were only hiring you as a replacement engineer, right? Didn't they have somebody else The
that
guy
they,
broke
and
his leg or something, and it fallen from a tree or something
well,
like that, right?
let's start with the fact that Kenny Newman made the initial contact and decided it wasn't for him and told them to call me. And so the
Well,
whole
I don't
reason
think it
I have
wasn't
this
for
gig
him.
is.
I think he was working for Manilow and he didn't want to give that up.
Not to mention it's below my pay rate or whatever you call it. But, you know, I wasn't ready to take that kind of pay cut, you know.
Yeah. Well,
David is such a good negotiator that he negotiated the pay rate to a point where he's comfortable with it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And of course, it's the important thing is I'm having a great time.
Oh, so still, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. It's great. The music is great. They're building a new monitor system. They're going out and getting, you know, all new electronics, and they got the new QL1, and they got the Yamaha mics, and they haven't gotten the in-ears yet, but we're building racks. I feel like I'm back at A1 again. It's really
cool. Wow, exciting.
Yeah, well, George was very kind to me to get me the hardest part of the job, you know, getting him a console, which no one else could get. But now he seems to be happy buying it from everywhere, anywhere he can get it. Just
well, yeah, he's he owns the band, so he's not throwing away.
Yeah, let's not try to talk over each other, okay? So, because it's hard to hear. Tina, what were you saying?
I was just making a comment,
and I'm sure I would agree with your comment. yeah. But, you know, anyway, it's good that you're working and I'm happy about it. But the whole point of what I'm bringing up is that you took a gig, you thought it was only for a couple of weeks, and, you know, there you are, up and running, and now it seems to be a career move.
Yeah, that guy who fell out of the tree, the sound guy, who's the reason that we got the call in the first place, he took a job at a casino. He's off the road completely now.
So, is he doing what at a casino? Doing sound at a casino or?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Wow, good for him.
Here's an interesting story. You know, I had needed some substitutes I had more than one act, and we brought in Dan Casting. And so he's been doing the act. So now they're doing a cruise from Miami, Aruba, Curacao, Miami. And it's a rock and roll 70s cruise, and it's got all these great acts on it. A couple of the tribute bands, but the real deal, War is on there, and Dave Mason, and a bunch of people. 70s stuff. But when they do these cruises, they bring a monitor guy on, and guess who they're bringing on? Dan Casting. So he and I will be on a cruise together in March.
Oh, no way. You mean the cruise brings the monitor guy?
No, but Hotel California does, because don't have their own gear. They're, you know, they have to at the mercy of whatever's on the ship.
Oh, in other words, they aren't allowed to use their own gear.
Right, they don't bring it on the ship at all. They have to fly it down, and you know, it just doesn't work. Because we get on in the middle of the cruise in Aruba.
I see. How interesting. So you and Dan will get to work together on the act that is like new to you, basically.
Yeah. We'll have a great time together.
How about that? Well, that's amazing. No, Dan and I share birthdays, right?
Oh, okay.
We were both born on the same day or same
January 14th.
Maybe not the same year, but you know, and Bob McCarthy was born the exact same time as me. The same day, same year, same everything.
Cool.
Now, is that January 14th or January 16th? I get confused.
14th is my birthday. You know who else? Dave Grohl was born on that day. You know who else? James B. Lansing was born on that day. You know who else? I don't know.
Well, there's a book that says famous people that were born on your day of your birth.
Yeah, but
James B. Lansing's birthday is the 14th.
Of what? January?
Yes.
No kidding. That's amazing. So anyway, pretty funny.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm getting old. It sucks.
I'm the most famous person born on my birthday, but that says nothing, you know? Absolutely nothing. But so I'm glad you got some people born on your birthday.
Well, James B. Lansing. That's James B. Lansing thing. That's funny.
Yeah. Harmon now.
That's good. Was he born Martini?
Sorry?
Was he born Martini? Not Lansing?
Oh, that's I'm not sure what you mean.
His surname.
I don't know.
Martini, I think. Someone might check that out.
There you go. Put a pin in that balloon. All right, here we go.
And you lost me, Wayne, but maybe that's the history of James.
He lost everybody there. Don't worry, that's why I said put a pin in the balloon. You know, you gotta.
Now his surname.
I lost you there too. All right.
He was born. I thought he was Martini. something like that, or I might be pronouncing it incorrect.
Well, you might
history,
be.
Have to get the history books out and have a look.
Yeah, that's what I've got. See this? That's what I've got.
JBL story. Well, you know, I don't know about James B. Lansing, but I know that JBL put me in business, basically. You know, Disney started us, but JBL put us on the map.
See that? It's interesting. JBL is very influential in our lives.
Yeah, I remember it really well. The internet was just getting started. People didn't know what eBay was because it was just getting started. The dial-up service was where it was at, AOL. You remember that? The AOL dial-up service? And oh, yeah. AOL had this. CompuServe. I remember having my first email. CompuServe. You know, you guys remember what your first computer was?
Oh, I had Apple the original TV. IBM PC.
An Apple II.
Yep.
Yeah, it was never
an Apple IIe. So. Yeah. I used to repair them in Sunnyvale for 4 years. So I still have it. Serial number 18.
Well, maybe one day that'll be your retirement plan.
And Kenny and I got our computers almost at the same time. He got the 128 Mac, and I waited for the 512. But those were
by the way, this is the 40th anniversary of Mac. Of that, you know, today's the day that commercial ran, where they introduced the Mac at the Super Bowl.
That was January 24th, 1984, huh? Wow, how about that?
Yep.
That's a historic. Go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's today. It might have been yesterday, but I think it's today. I mean, and now the Super Bowl, well, the playoffs are coming up, right? So, Tina's team's in the playoffs right now. The Lions.
Which one is that?
Woohoo!
The Detroit Lions.
Honolulu Blue Detroit Lions.
You know?
Well,
what do you think the odds are in for them?
Well, they're the underdogs, -6.2.
They have not been in a playoff game yet, have they?
No.
This is pretty historical for them to make it into the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Good for them. Well, let's hope they do well. Let's cheer for the underdog. For them.
Yeah, awesome. It's unbelievable. You know?
What would be amazing is if they somehow got into the Super Bowl and they somehow won the Super Bowl. Would that be, whoa, it would blow Detroit's minds, right?
I'd have to give Tanner a day off. That wouldn't be good.
I'd have to go to the parade.
Some bookies will be losing their backside, though.
Oh, 2 days off. All right. Oh, well. There you go. What could I tell you? But this is a busy year. They just announced speaking of New Orleans, who's going down there, the New Orleans Jazz Festival and Heritage Festival just announced the Rolling Stones, Foo Fighters, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, Chris Stapleton, The Killers, there are hundreds of acts. This New Orleans Jazz Festival is April 25th to 28th, and then again the next weekend, May 2nd to the 5th. That's pretty amazing. That is some lineup.
And sounds like it's not just jazz anymore.
No, it's the Heritage Festival. But the Stones to go out there and play is pretty amazing. You know what I heard? I saw, and you know how the Rolling Stones came up with their name?
Oh.
The guitar player had gotten Brian Jones. He was on the phone with a club, and he was, you know, they were a brand new band, and they were trying to get a gig, and he talked this club owner to put him in the gig, and the club owner said, "Well, I'll promote it. What's the name of your band?" And they didn't have a name yet. And he was playing Muddy Waters' record, and there's the first track on one of Muddy Waters' records is the Rolling Stone Blues. And he said, "Well, we're the Rolling Stones," and that's how it happened. Keith Richards told that story. So now you know, if you didn't know. So speaking of old timers, Billy Joel is going to release an album now. The first album in 31 years. 31 years.
It'll be interesting to see how is.
nobody's heard it. It comes out February 1st. I mean, I haven't heard it. It comes out February 1st, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean,
yeah.
I wonder if he will. I wonder if he'll back it up with a tour.
He is opening for Sting at Raymond James Stadium on February 12th.
Opening for Sting, or nice. Sting is opening for him? I think it's the other way around, don't you? Or
it's maybe it's Sting a co-headline. And Billy Joel.
Yeah, co-headline, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're both headliners for sure. You know, I mean, Billy Joel has played Madison Square Garden for like ever. Now he no longer. Right. He did his last show there, or so he said he did his last show there. You know, it's one thing for an artist to say I'm retiring and then come back. It's not unusual for that to happen, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but how many tours? You know, it's not sold out, though. You know, Live Nation starting to discount the tickets.
What was that, Christopher?
With all the blues.
I have no idea.
That was cool.
Well, congratulations. That's what it was. You were congratulating somebody. What was the band that had that album, Ghost in the Machine?
The Police.
There you go.
Ghost in the Machine. Really? That's Ghost in the Machine? I thought it was Ghost in the Machine was Annie Lennox. No?
No, Ghost in the Machine was the third album from
Police?
Fourth, sorry. Yeah, it was Outlandos No More, Reggae, Regatta de Blanc, Zenyatta Moldada.
All right, well, we have a record historian in the room. I love it.
And then Ghost in the Machine, and then Synchronicity.
Well, I just remember Ghost in the Machine from Pink Floyd, but, you know, that's...
Oh, I think it's a literary reference. Sting's an ex English teacher and is very well read. That's why his lyrics are so fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, and another thing that's really exciting in our industry is Jon Stewart. I don't know if you heard this, but Jon Stewart is coming back to The Daily Show because of this election.
Monday, every Monday night, starting the Monday night after the Super Bowl.
I bet that's going to be big audiences for what is it? MTV? Is he on Comedy Central?
Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, hey, and then they're going to have new comedians every night of the week.
Well, they have. That's what they do. Isn't that what they do ever since Trevor Noah left? They have a rotating host, right?
Yeah, I would be surprised if he doesn't make a guest appearance.
Trevor Noah?
Jon Stewart comes back. Yeah, and I would be shocked if Stephen Colbert doesn't come back on for at least an episode or two, you know?
Well, right. I got to tell you, yeah, and he's also, I read the press release, he is the executive producer now, and then he's going to come in every Monday. You know, up until January, the first Monday after January 16th, 2025.
Yeah.
Now, is he still doing his Apple TV thing? He had a show on Apple TV that was kind of a series.
You know, I forgot the name. It's just Talking Out Loud with Jon Stewart or something like that. I forgot what it is.
Yeah, something like that. Called. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't have Apple TV anymore, but I do have Netflix, and Netflix gained 13 million subscribers this last quarter because they stopped that sharing, and people are, I mean, Netflix seems to be where it's at. I think it was Netflix that just announced that they're spending a fortune on WWE and they're going to start streaming WWE. Ooh. Was that Netflix?
That was Netflix.
No, they won't be getting my money.
Yeah. So, I'm not interested in that. But they seem to have the best, what do you call it, lineup or best menu of shows, sort of.
They
you know, Apple
TV. They work with very reputable content creators and showrunners.
They were very smart.
But
they were very smart. They went out and got all that foreign content. I mean, one of their biggest shows was the Squid Games, and that came from Korea. They probably paid nothing for that.
Yeah, they had that. Then they had the bank heist one from Spain that did very well. And they've knocked it out of the park.
And they have films like Maestro. I mean, I wonder what the deal was that they made with whoever made Maestro to get Maestro on their platform. That's got to be serious money.
I want to see that. That's on Plex. That's Bernstein. That's Leonard Bernstein's the story of Leonard Bernstein.
Right. Played by what's his name?
The guy that played on the Silver Cloud Lining.
Bradley Cooper.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit more about another thing. NAMM is coming up, so you guys are all going to NAMM. I mean, that's where Ken Porter is right now. He's on his way to NAMM, and Kurt's on his way to NAMM, and I mean, a lot of people are.
Wait, is Kurt going to NAMM for real?
Yeah, I believe he is, and I'm pretty sure he is going to NAMM. Meyer is holding a huge demo for the Panther and the 2100 subwoofer. It's going to be at the City National Grove on January 25th from 5 to 6 p.m., and doors open at 4:30 p.m. So if you're going to be in NAMM, you might want to go check that out. The Meyer Panther.
You got to make it over to the Grove, though.
Yeah, you got to make it over to the Grove.
Paid parking.
So,
what'd you say? Big parking challenge?
Paid. On the invite, I'm going to that thing, and they're like, "Oh yeah, it's at the Grove. Paid parking available." So I'm sure it's going to be another $25 or $30 to park.
If you're lucky. I mean, you're lucky. In Las Vegas, parking's $120 if you go to the Sphere now, from my understanding.
Well, for a U2 concert. Crazy. Yeah, yeah.
It just depends.
Yeah. And when you pay, they have parking a little changes. Tip thing on the, so you can tip for your parking spot.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
I went to a concert at the new arena in Palm Springs, and I got to say that was pretty cool because the parking there, I paid for it in advance. It was reasonably priced, like $30 or something, and you didn't have to show anything. It read your license plate as you drove in and said, "Oh yeah, you're good." And then the other thing that was great about that that venue was all the vending. Well, it would be an insult to them to call them vending machines, but the way that you buy your snacks and things was all self-service outside before you go in the place. It was really great.
What was it? What were they charging on those vending machines?
Oh, like a bottle of water was $6, which is not
$6.
$6.
You know what? I know.
It costs like 30 cents. But the point is that it was available. It was not exorbitant. It wasn't $20, and it was quick because I grabbed the bottle of water, I scanned it at the self-service kiosk, did my Apple Pay, and I was out of there in a minute or less. That was great because at an arena like that for a large gathering, you're used to waiting in a line, you're used to paying paying somebody and having to do all that stuff, the whole transaction. It was so great.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Apple Pay.
It didn't ask for a tip. No, that's funny.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's a miracle right there.
Right.
The machine didn't ask for a tip.
Everything wants a tip. Everything wants a tip these days.
Yeah. I'm waiting tips at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
By the way, for you guys that have Apple, they have the new iOS 17.3. They now have a new security feature. I mean, that's the big thing. In case your device gets stolen, they have the stolen security feature on it right now. So if I've uploaded it onto my phone or downloaded it onto my phone, there's no change in the operating system, except now you have a little bit more security. So if you have an iPhone, you should get that update.
So what are you saying? What's the advantage? What does it do?
Yeah. What does the security do?
Basically, what it does is if somebody looks at your phone, right, and they steal it, they see it, they saw your password, they see it, and now they close the phone. Basically, if the phone is not in a familiar location, you can't open the phone up unless by face. You have to use Face ID, biometrics. You can't just do it with a password.
Oh, nice. And that's embedded and, right into the up in the update then.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the other thing from my understanding, yeah, it doesn't affect anything. So I highly recommend that you do it. There's so many YouTube videos to show you how to do it, but it's in the settings. It's in Face ID, you know, Face ID and password, and it's really a simple setting. And if you go down even further, you can see.
And if you try to change your Apple passwords or try to get into Apple Pay or any of your wallets, you can go ahead and try to make the change. But you got to do it twice, and you got to wait 2 hours between the two.
One hour,
is it? Okay, I'm sorry. So if you
but you're right. I mean, it's a good security feature for sure. You know?
That would suck.
And that other thing, you know, I haven't used it. What, Fred?
I said it would suck for me because my phone never knows where it is. It seems like
If you go into the settings over there, there's a location history that it's embedded in your phone, and it knows where you've gone. The phone knows where you are, but it doesn't. From my understanding, it doesn't get sent anywhere. It just lives on the phone. That's the difference between Apple and Google. Is everything on the iPhone lives on the phone? It doesn't live in the cloud. Per se, unless you allow it to, whereas everything you do on a Google phone or an Android phone gets beamed somewhere else. So anyway,
yeah, but that's 80% of the time my phone doesn't know where I am. If I want to go get an Uber from my house to the airport, it'll try to take. And I was in Los Angeles yesterday. It'll try to take me from Los Angeles to the Phoenix Center Airport.
You probably have your location services turned off on that.
No, they're all on. They're all on. It's just a stupid iPhone that gets stupid updates. Every time you buy an iDevice, when you first get it, it works perfectly. And then you start getting operating system updates. And it's fucked from that point on. Excuse my language, but I hate it.
I'm glad. It's now, you know, the show is called Embarrassing Moments. Yeah, you know, what can I say? You know, I've just been embarrassed. You know, but I think really seriously, I think the reality is that, you know, it's like we've kept this show pretty clean. And yet nobody talks like that in real life. It's actually here in Thailand, I speak to Bo. Bo hates when I use the word fuck. She just hates it. Absolutely despises it. You know, and by the way, just an FYI, speaking of that, I read an article about how the middle finger became the fuck you symbol. And it comes from ancient Greece. Ancient Greece. I don't know what happened to the story, but Tina, it's in the notes somewhere. But anyway.
Probably right up there with
hummus. How ancient? What part? AD, BC?
I don't know. I'm looking for it right now in the notes. Let's see if I can find it. If I find it, I'll come. Oh, here it is. It's right underneath the many travelers on the airline safety video. But the middle finger is the most controversial digit, thanks to the ancient Greeks for that. And we've got the link for that. So do you see it, Tina? You can throw it in the chat.
Okay.
It's there. It's right under the rocket has taken flight. By the way, that Peregrine spacecraft, just an FYI, that's the end of that story. And then now we're not going to the moon back until 2026. And that Japanese rocket that landed on the moon, seems it's already lost power. I mean, the moon's becoming like a junkyard for NASA and all the space, you know, of all the space exploration that's happening from all the countries. It's crazy, you know, that we're littering the moon now as well. You know,
not to mention all the space debris right now. It almost is like as it was depicted in the movie WALL-E when he left Earth, you know.
Yeah. They're trying to pass some law internationally that if you send the rocket up, you got to be responsible for the debris that it causes.
So at least the U.S. NASA's got a conscience, because when that moonshot was going to fail, they turned it around so it burns up in our atmosphere.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, it did burn up in our atmosphere. But you want to hear something amazing? You know, speaking of burning up, you know that plane situation in Japan from last week?
What happened?
A plane was on a runway and another plane crashed into it and it burned up, but all the passengers, the Coast Guard, it was a Coast Guard, Japanese Coast Guard plane, six people lost their lives that were in the Coast Guard, right? But all of the people on the plane, got off safe, so, you know, something like 200 and something.
All the Coast Guard people died, right?
Yeah. It turns out that they're saying that many, listen to this, many travelers avoid the airline safety videos before their flight, even if they rely on humor or cameos from celebrities. But in the aftermath of the Japanese airline crash, inline safety videos have become universally praised because, you know, as David will tell you, people in Japan are very, finite. They're precise. And so they watch this video. It seems like everybody watched the video. And that's what they're saying, because they watched that video. It saved their lives.
Good.
So my question is how many people in this room watch that video?
I do.
I know
do.
I don't.
I always do.
And I count the number of rows to the nearest exit. Especially on long haul.
That's pretty wise, Greg. But I could say I definitely listen carefully to the explanation, but I'm not sure I would be able to do it in an emergency, because it's going to be like, what is happening? What? And
then
it's going
to
be pretty panicked.
I always check under my seat. Oh, I'm sorry. I always check under my seat to make sure that my vest is under there.
Well, if you need that vest, it's you might as well be kissing your ass goodbye when
you
bend down to look at it.
A lot of times they're missing. You know, some people do steal them, so you should always just put your hand there just to make sure, just as a precaution. You never know.
Tina, you're in Vegas. How are you gonna? Yeah. Is the plane gonna crash in Lake Mead or what?
She's allowed to fly outside the country.
Yeah, I mean, hey, remember Tina came from Oakland, you know? She's she knows where.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, hey, and she, you know, talk about thievery. So everybody here knows about In-N-Out, right? In-N-Out hamburgers, right?
Oh my God.
In-N-Out has been for decades. Has never closed an In-N-Out, and they're going to close their first one. And where are they closing it? Oakland, California.
And what reason? What reason are they giving? Crime?
Security. Getting robbed at the drive-thru.
That's horrible.
Is that where they started?
They started someplace in Southern California, I'm sure.
Baldwin Park.
Right, yeah. There you go. Because I did the gig with the you know, the owner or CEO or whatever she's called. She that company is run by a woman.
Oh, the granddaughter that they
right.
Yeah,
right.
She inherited all the stock. She's the only one.
Yeah,
she was the only one.
And isn't there on every cup there's some sort of religious expression somewhere hidden on the
cup?
Yes,
there is. There's a Bible verse.
It's not hidden at all. It's right there.
Where around the cup is it, David?
Down around the bottom. It's around the bottom of the cup, and it's right there, and it says whatever that is. I'll get it for you.
Yeah. Anyway, it says the burger chain, in a statement, despite taking repeated steps to create safer conditions, our customer and associates are regularly victimized by car break-ins, property damage, theft, and armed robberies. That is unbelievable. Oakland is becoming like the, you know, like the Wild Wild West.
The Bay Area.
It started in San Francisco when he said that they couldn't arrest anybody for stealing out of the CVS or the Walmart, Walgreens or any store there.
That's nuts.
The mayor.
That's just absolutely nuts. Hey, Kurt's here. Kurt, are you on your way to NAMM? Are you in Los Angeles or Anaheim right now?
Unmute him.
It's a different environment, but with him, you never know.
Talking to me?
He's such a master with Photoshop. I don't know where he is. Where are you?
This is actually Chris Cooper's kitchen in San Francisco.
Well, that's not NAMM.
No, I'm not at NAMM yet. That's tomorrow.
Chris Cooper's
kitchen. So how long are you going to be at NAMM, Kurt?
That's not where he is. He'd use that.
But I mean, when you get there, how long are you going to be there?
Well, I've got to go through Iceland first. And then,
yeah, then a little toasty.
I'll be there Thursday afternoon and then leave Sunday afternoon.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So I would love to meet you in person if that becomes possible.
Yeah.
Go into the chat, Kurt.
Yeah,
go
Pete,
into
me
the
your,
chat.
Your number.
And direct message Kenny with your phone number. Yeah. Or Kenny, you go into the chat and direct message Kurt with your phone number, but direct message it.
Oh, we have each other's phone numbers. I have his phone number. So,
right. Oh, that's right.
How you feeling, Kurt?
Consoles. Yeah. So I'll just.
How you feeling? You get over the cold?
It moved out of my chest, but it's like now it's just like taking forever to leave. It kind of almost felt like COVID brain today. Okay. I think I made two or three wrong turns trying to go someplace I already know where it was.
Yeah.
I had to go demo some subs in a church, and then I had to go drive up to another place to pick up some other stuff, and traffic was hell because it's raining. And you'd think the people in Seattle would know how to freaking drive in the rain, like of all places. Sorry, a little grumpy. Got a headache, spent all day in traffic.
But now you're
Have
in San Francisco,
any
huh?
Of that lab-grown meat?
No,
that
no,
could
I'm in,
be a problem.
I'm in Greenland.
Oh, I see, okay.
Iceland.
All right.
Well, here's an interesting story, and David was the first person to tell me about this in the namage in the naming of Iceland and Greenland. David, you want to talk about it?
I don't remember what I told you.
Well, Greenland's icy and Iceland's green.
Yeah, he told me that they changed the name, that Iceland picked Iceland because it was nice, and it was something about like Greenland was really pretty. Or Iceland was really, you know, so they changed the name so people wouldn't go there because they thought
right.
It was ice.
Well, that, yeah, they didn't want anybody coming over, so they named Greenland the green place, Iceland, and the good place, Greenland. Fooled them.
So yeah,
fooled everybody. Fooled me too.
Keep all the LA people out.
it's kind of like you know, the rumor that it's always raining in Seattle, right? Yeah, that's just a rumor to keep people away from Seattle.
Yeah, Bob Newhart's sister started that.
Yeah. So speaking of Bob Newhart, they just have now a new blood test that's looking really promising that will be a cure for Alzheimer's.
Bob Newhart
screen for Alzheimer's.
A detection of Alzheimer's, not a cure.
Oh, it won't be a cure.
Yeah.
It'll be a detection.
Bob right there on the deck.
Now there he is. Yeah. What's he doing on that deck?
Lighting the barbecue, I think.
Ah. So anyway, I was asking you, are you in your cooking, are you using any lab-grown meat? Because I hear that that's now going to be the new thing, that last year the U.S. became the second country after Singapore to approve the sale of lab-grown meats.
Yeah, it costs more to produce than regular meat, more energy consumption.
They're it's saying that it's going to be a $25 billion business by 2030. Unbelievable. I would be afraid to eat lab-grown stuff.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Soylent Green.
Exactly.
Soylent Green, yes. Yes, Jordan Heston. Yes.
Well, speaking of eating meat, there's a series on our favorite streaming platform, Netflix, called You Are What You Eat. And it's an interesting study that they did with twins. And since twins, share the same DNA, they said, let's do an 8-week test. We'll have one of the twins eat a diet of meat-based and the other a plant-based diet. And so I'm just like two episodes into it, but so far it looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There was a Zappa record, You Are What You Is.
Yeah, speaking of twins, I was listening yesterday on the drive back. We were in the car for about 9 hours, and I was listening to this guy named Shokar, who is a psychologist, and he had this woman on who was the foremost expert in memory. And what she says is that most people, you know, two people could do the same exact experience, but they come away with it from different memories. And when you talk about the past, like you're with somebody and you remember when we did this, And they say actually that people will have different memories. And even if they didn't do it and you put it in them in such a way, they might imagine that they did it. And what they're trying to prove right now, that eyewitnesses of crimes are the worst possible way to find out if that person actually did it, because the memories can be so skewed. Like, for example, this is what they did. They interviewed these people and they gave them three scenarios, right? And before they did that, though, they talked to their parents, their friends, they got permission. And one story they made up. One story was completely made up. And when they told them the made up story, they said, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know, and their memories of it. They had created memories in their mind because they thought it had happened. And so if you ever do something where they need an eyewitness, just remember that eyewitness might not have been so eye for you. There you go. So what's
better, a video recording of something? I wonder.
Videos don't lie unless it's, you know, I mean, if you could prove that it wasn't, you know, wasn't it edited?
Yeah, how do you prove that? Yeah.
You just have to make sure it doesn't have Kurt's signature on it.
That's it. There you go.
Did you hear about the AI, you know, Joe Biden robocalls?
Yeah, I didn't. I just saw the headlines. I didn't read the story because it didn't interest me.
I listened to the call, and it sounded just like Joe Biden saying some things that he never said. And I was like, how do they do that?
Well, I think it might
actually. Oh, it's easy. You can do it yourself.
It might be his voice, and it's just samples of his voice saying different words. You know, like when you talk to the computer and the help line when you're trying to get to somebody, and it'll say things.
Right.
I think that might really be Joe Biden's voice, just
okay,
being played back saying words that he never said in that order.
In that order. Okay. Yeah.
If you have an iPhone, you could do that yourself. You could have Siri talk to you in your own voice.
Seriously?
Wow.
Seriously.
No thanks.
You have to train the iPhone. I don't remember exactly how to do it, but I'm sure it's, you know, you just got to Google it. And yeah, you could actually have the iPhone talk to you in your own voice.
It has you read a bunch of phrases and then it samples your voice that way.
Now by a bunch, how many you think?
I did it. It was about 30 or 40.
How interesting. Like 20 minutes. That's interesting. How about that? Can Alexa do the same thing?
No.
Because I use Alexa a lot more than Siri.
As far as I know, they can't. That's a different thing.
Most people hate the sound of hearing their own voice, you know, because we don't really hear our voice the way other people hear it because of all the, you know, all of the
our inner nuances. Head voice. Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could program somebody's GPS voice to like be their ex-wife or ex-husband?
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking was if I can get my Alexa to be my voice and then when I die, it's still I'm still here, you know.
He could still order blue tape.
You're right.
Yeah. Wow. That's a morbid thought. Yeah.
But hey, there's one thing we're all going to do, pay taxes and die. Right. So, you know,
I can just hear it true. Now. Hey, Kenny, turn on Netflix.
Right. That's it.
No, it's interesting. You know, you say that, you know, I have a voicemail of, you know, people leave your voicemail and I don't usually delete my voicemails. And then there are voicemails I have of people that have, you know, have died and I hear their voice. It is freaky. And, you know, of course, I mean, but you listen to music of people that are dead and you don't think, well, there's a dead guy singing to me, you know, or maybe you do.
So here's one of those. Let me take a quick poll. Maybe even just you and Kurt might want to weigh in on this. So on the Tom Petty channel on Sirius XM, they often play Tom Petty introducing the songs. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm an old deadhead, so I'm used to listening to people who've been dead still listening
introducing
to
their songs. Yeah, I mean, well, it's really one thing. It's one thing to be singing their songs, but introducing songs and talking about, oh, we went to this place and we went to that place and that band was great, that kind of stuff.
A little weird.
It's definitely a lot weirder
for Robert than it is for any of us. But
I like it personally, because it's something that happened. It was in there before. You know, it was he actually recorded it while he was alive, and he was telling about that deal. I mean, it's just a repeat of whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Okay. I think it's kind of creepy myself, but
was that channel on before he died?
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Long.
So it's not like they just assembled a bunch of stuff from.
Oh, nothing like that. No, it's totally. He did these shows and he talks about the music that he's playing, and he's funny. You know, he talks about the, Fred, he talks about the studio where they do the show, the greatest sounding studio in LA or something like that.
I don't have Sirius, but I have heard some of the, when I'm around people who have that and I have access, or if I'm in a rental car and I have access to Tom Petty radio, I'll put it on. But yeah, when he was alive, he would tell these stories and they were awesome. I mean, it was like being in the lair.
How long before all of these technologies converge between the AI and the video mapping and all of these other things, and we actually get new songs with holographic people on tour who've been dead for 20 years?
Yeah, and listen to this. My brother,
like, how far away were we really from that?
My brother,
like, we're on the verge of that happening.
Frank Zappa already did that, and that was long before this AI revolution.
Yeah, my brother works in the TV industry, and they can actually take actors, and this happened. They had a show where they had somebody that was available to do the role but was too old, and they just went ahead and used him, and then they gave the video, you know, the digital recording to a service, and AI made the actor look younger, but like by, it was a 20, I think in real life, the guy is like in his mid 20s to late 20s, and they made him 13 or 14.
But it seems with predictive algorithms, like, it's almost like we're at the point where you could take, like, someone who improvises, you know, could you take Jerry Garcia, sample his tones, make a database of his characteristics, and then introduce elements from the remaining members playing there would be a mathematical formula for how he would have likely responded to that improvised chord that Bob Weir played, or that piano lick that Brent Midland played. So it's like, how far really in the future is new music based on databases from old performers playing together?
Not far away.
I think it's here. I think it's here right now.
You know what's not here right now is me. I gotta go. I just realized it's already 6 o'clock. I gotta go. But wow, great seeing you all.
Before you go, I want to say one thing, because you brought it up. StoryCorps. I just put a link in the show notes. StoryCorps is it was Ted and I believe Smithsonian. And basically, what you do is you interview your family members, you know, like while they're still alive, and you could save it for posterity's sake. So if you have grandchildren, you could play the story. I wish I had that, because I have no idea what my family heritage is, except we were Neanderthals, and sometimes I still think I am. I don't know.
Yeah, I seem to remember seeing an ad for that on Instagram. Is that what you're talking about?
It's a free service. It's a free service. I believe now Ted is involved. I think that, you know, Launch with Support,
the TED Conference,
2015 TED Prize, and the John S. and James Knight Foundation. And so it's our free app. Put StoryCorp's experience entirely in your hands. But I'm pretty sure that StoryCorp is from NPR and from the government, from the Smithsonian.
Have you seen the thing where you can suspend grandma in a block of Lucite as a coffee table?
Oh, my. Wow. On that note, I really got to go.
That should have been my show title. By the way, guys, send me emails with show titles, you know, so that's it, so we could talk about it. All right, Kenny, see you later. Thanks
have
for coming.
Have a great week, Ken.
Gentlemen, have a nice evening.
Well, thanks. Thanks for coming. Week. Anyway, let's go offline. Let's just say goodbye to everybody. Let's say thank you for coming. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we appreciate your support. Remember to click the like button. Share this if you think it's worthy of sharing, which I do. So, and by the way, I will send everybody in the room the AI notes. So if you missed it, you know, you could at least read about it. Great. Read all about it.
I'll be the guy that wants to put grandma on a block of Lucite in my living room.
Perfect. That's right. I would like, is it your grandma or mine? That's the question. And do I have to dig her up?
Too late for mine.
That's it. Mine too. So we'll have to dig them up, but they won't look like grandma anymore. But that's about the size of it. Anyway, listen, guys, thanks for watching. Remember, you make it happen. We're going to stay in the room. So if you want to be part of the panel, just DM me or send an email to anybody you know in the room, and they will send you an invite as well. Remember to share it. Click the like button. That's it for us. We'll talk to you again next week. Remember, you make it happen, and stay safe and stay healthy. And until then, bye-bye for now. And we are off the air.
David's